Chuck Collins was born into the 1%. The great-grandson of meatpacker Oscar Mayer, Chuck was raised never to have to worry about anything that money could fix. And yet, at the age of 26, he gave away his inheritance. Since then, he's been working to reduce economic inequality in the United States. He's just written a new book, Born on Third Base, a one-percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. It's a great pleasure to welcome Chuck Collins to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joe.
Give us a sense of what brought you to tell your story, which is a very unique story.
I grew up in the 1%, but I was also very attuned to, growing up in Detroit, the kind of amazing inequalities around me. And then really over the last 30 years, I've just watched them grow. So I'm someone very concerned about inequality that happened to be born on third base.
So you made a decision very early to ultimately give away your inheritance.
Yeah, I was at the foolish age of 26 when I sort of was aware of just how much advantage I already had at that moment. I had a debt-free college education and, the head start of growing up, not just in a wealthy family, but sort of multiple generations of stability and home ownership and all kinds of opportunities. So I felt like I'd gotten enough of a head start and I wanted to make my own way. And so I gave the money to a couple of charitable foundations.
Did you ever second guess that?
There are occasional days, or if I have a credit card bill that I can't pay off at the end of the month, things like that. But I actually, what I think it mostly allowed me to do was look very unflinchingly at what's happened in our society. And I have a couple kids. They don't seem to be too upset at me for spending their future inheritance. So, it sort of somewhat freed me. But the other reality is I still have all kinds of other just advantages that come from being a white privileged guy in a society where, who you know helps, et cetera. So I feel like I gave away one small piece of the inheritance, if you will.
And even without that inheritance, you're still able to do the work that you do in talking about those inequalities and tackling inequality and changing our communities.
Yeah, I mean, I have a day job where I'm, that's the work that I do, and it's very encouraging. I mean, I kind of sense that people are waking up to how these inequalities affect us. And see that it isn't just a difference of individual achievement. It's not just because some people are working harder, but that actually the rules of the economy are somewhat tilted in favor of those of us who have access to wealth. And I think, I particularly see younger people, college student age, who are stepping up and saying, geez, I don't think it makes sense to have a society where people with 22 at the age of 22 have $100,000 in student debt. There's no good that can come of this. So let's change the rules to create a fairer economy.
No good that can come of this. And you write about this in the book, and you just, as you just stated, being born on third base, you do find extreme levels of inequality in the society, and you see them. It's very painful to you. And I'm hoping you can talk a little bit about what it is like when you see that.
I really was affected starting in my mid-20s when I was working with mobile home tenants who were trying to buy their mobile home parks. And I did that work for about 10 years, and I sort of got a front row seat in both what was happening to people's wages, like real wages started to stall out and fall for, half the population. And you could see how people were struggling to survive. They were working more hours, more members of the family were working, they were going into debt, they were taking on credit card debt, they were feeling this huge pressure and stress of living and working in a stagnant wage economy. But I also had this front row seat of advantage, which is I knew people, my extended family, people I knew who were wealthy, who were watching their wealth and assets just double and take off on a rocket launcher. So I found that that view, if you will, that contradiction, which has nothing to do with differences in effort, painful to watch because of what it was doing to people.
So what do you believe are the expectations, or should be the expectations, of the wealthy, of those who come into this wealth? What do you believe their responsibilities are?
Well, I think one responsibility is to try to learn and understand all the advantages that flow from that and where wealth comes from. You know, if we just believe that, oh, wealth is just a function of individual effort and some people have it and some people don't, we kind of miss out the sort of understanding the whole web of how a society supports, creates the kind of a fertile ground for wealth and building businesses. So my invitation is to tell true stories about where the wealth comes from, but also return that wealth, recycle those opportunities. So if you have the good fortune to have, you know, $10 million or $20 million, pay your taxes, give to charity, invest in local community enterprises in a way that creates opportunities for the next generation who is not born wealthy to have a good life.
You make this point, and I think it's an interesting one, that inequality is as bad for rich people as it is for poor people. How so?
Well, it's not quite as bad, but what I argue is it's the where we're going, you know, these growing inequalities are actually going to undermine the quality of life for everybody. We're moving toward becoming kind of like a Brazil-like society where the very wealthy, you know, live behind walls and send their children to school with bodyguards, and that these inequalities are actually bad for economic stability. They undermine social cohesion. They lead to resentments and anger and sort of rich bashing. But they also just they destroy the foundations of healthy capitalist growth. You know, too much inequality is bad for the economy. So I kind of try to make the argument that too wealthy people, don't let this keep going. It's bad for everybody.
Who is ultimately responsible, do you believe, and not to say that it is just one party, but who do you believe is ultimately responsible in leveling the playing field, of taking that on is an issue? Is it the rich, or is it just a society as a whole of coming up with a mechanism that can see that there is more fairness?
I think we're all responsible. I think that the way our democracy works is wealthy people have disproportionate power, and therefore I think have a big responsibility to fix this. But it's really up to all of us to sort of demand that, things don't have to be this way. And I kind of harken back to, you know, the years after World War II, 1947 to the mid-70s, we taxed the wealthy as a society. We asked the wealthy to pay higher taxes on income and on wealth, and we invested in things like infrastructure, debt-free education for, tens of millions of people, first-time homebuyer loans for tens of millions of households. We taxed the wealth and invested in things that expanded opportunity and expanded the middle class. And that's the program. You know, we can do that again.
You do talk about in the chapter, The Moment We Are In, that fair rules are necessary. And I want to explore that with you a little bit of what the fair rules should be. And is one of them a key to this of overturning Citizens United?
Well, I think that how we finance our elections is one of the problems. It goes back even further than Citizens United to, Buckley versus Valeo and other decisions where we basically treat campaign contributions as free speech, corporate money as free speech. Those are all things that we need to basically block the neck, stop these huge, donations, the influence of money on our democracy. We have to put up a wall, realizing that it's like water running down a hill, that money is going to try to work its way around and influence our democracy. But the more barriers we put up, the better. So that's clearly one of the rule changes. But there are also rule changes like raising the minimum wage, closing down offshore tax havens that corporations use to and wealthy individuals use to avoid paying taxes, closing down tax loopholes that mostly the wealthy use. There's very specific rule changes that would move us toward a much more level playing field of society.
I asked you at the beginning of our conversation if you ever regretted the decision to give away your inheritance. So let me end with a similar question, which is, have you ever regretted how you gave it away in the sense of the charitable organizations that you did give it away to and looking and saying, because you're only 26, of, oh, well, maybe now I could have done this with the money to set up a system and help with the work that you're doing currently?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. I don't have any regrets because the best thinking I had at the time went to organizations that some of them are still around doing great work and added to their endowments or added to their ability to give money. And my view is, you know, I didn't really want to be a philanthropist. I didn't want that to be my job. It's important work, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And my hope is that by doing this book and talking to people, I'll inspire the next generation of people to give substantial wealth, not just to charity, but, you know, pay their fair share of taxes so we can create the same society that previous generations had.
So you're happy in the 99%?
I would say very much so. You know, I mean, I think one of the things that happens when people have wealth is it sort of disconnects them from others. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I live in a very vibrant neighborhood in Boston, and I have, you know, live on a very lively street, and I, you know, my wealth is in, you know, the relationships and the strength of our community. That's my ultimate security.
The name of the book is Born on Third Base. A one percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. The book is published by Chelsea Green. Chuck Collins, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Born on Third Base, by Chuck Collins, published by Chelsea Green. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.